Hello and welcome to Managing Myeloma. My name is Sagar Lonial and I'm a professor at the Winship Cancer Institute of Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Today I'm talking to Dr. Professor Thierry Facon, who's professor of hematology from Lille University Hospital in Lille, France, and we're very happy to have him here to talk about his session at the ESH Third International Conference on Multiple Myeloma, especially the session titled Treatment of Relapsed Patients. Professor Facon, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So you chaired a session that really talked a lot about the individual parts of how we approach relapse treatments. Can we go through a couple of the highlights from some of those lectures, starting off with the lecture on the IMiD class of drugs?
Yes, we had a nice session on dedicated to relapse refractory myeloma. The first part was dedicated to IMiD sense, so we presented studies on especially on pomalidomide for relapse refractory myeloma patients and most importantly pomalidomide based regimen. So not only pomalidomide in combination with dexamethasone, but some other new regimens such as the combination of pomalidomide and bortezomib, pomalidomide combined also with cyclophosphamide and dexamethasone. So that was an important part. Then we had a presentation on proteasome inhibitors, and so which is a long story. As you know, bortezomib was approved many years ago in 2004, and but we recently got new PIs, and as you know, we got carfilzomib, we got ixazomib. Recently, in 2015, in the U.S. And very recently in Europe as well, and we also said some words on potential new PIs, such as oprazolimab, for example, and it's in the same way these PIs have been combined with IMiDs, and these regimens are very effective, especially for the high-risk patients. Then we had one part where the dedicated to antibodies, and so we got the results of some important studies with elotuzumab and daratumumab and isatuximab as well, and finally, we Philippe Moreau did a very nice summary on all of these studies and. He tried to say some words on sequencing, which is, as you can expect, a very challenging part. And sequencing being also very likely different across different countries. So he did very well. He had a very he had the most difficult part, I would say, but he did very well.
So let me ask just to bring you back a little bit to some of the discussions I think that were had during the session. A drug that we have all had some experience with now for a number of years, carfilzomib, how is that being utilized in your practice now in terms of the dose that's used as well as the schedule that's used? Because that's certainly a big, that's a big question I know in the U.S.
No, that's definitely a big question for us as well. So the At the present time, I do believe that the majority of European physicians, they use carfilzomib in combination with lenalidomide and dexamethasone, which was established in the context of the ASPIRE study. So as you know, the dose is 27, so it's not too challenging, and I do believe this regimen is quite well accepted. The most challenging part is likely carfilzomib is at 56, or that could be also at higher doses given weekly. So that's a significant discussion, because as you know, we got a cardiac safety signal in some patients, and as far as I know, some of my colleagues are still a little bit reluctant to use a high dose of carfilzomib, and they have some of them have some concern with the cardiac safety, especially for the frail patients. But otherwise, I would say the cafizomib Blendax is well accepted, and we have to say that cafizomib is a very active drug in myeloma.
I completely agree, and I think there's no question that it's an active drug and that at a higher dose it's probably more potent than bortezomib. I think the question that we all struggle a little bit with is if it's going to go to weekly, what's the weekly dose? If it's going to be twice weekly as a partner with other drugs, what's the dose in that situation as well? And I think that's something we're all struggling a little bit with.
No, I agree with you. So looking at the weekly dosing, that could be 70 weekly, but it's not, in my opinion, it's still not so well defined, at least in terms of registration, it's not approved. And so I do believe that at the present time, we basically stick with the cafizomib Blendax regimen, which is not too much in terms of dosing and which seems to be very effective and safe.
So let's talk a little bit about the antibodies, which I think, given some of the data we've seen in the last few months, is really, really very exciting. How are those getting used in daily practice in France, for instance, or in Europe in general, given the data we saw from Castor and Pollux and other trials?
So these studies are extremely impressive. In my opinion, the lenalidomide and daratumumab study is very, very impressive. And if you look at the Pollux study, if you try to speculate on what could be the PFS, the median PFS for these patients, some people will tell you that will be 36 months, some people will tell you that will be up to 40, something like that. But we have to keep in mind that these patients are relapsed refractory myeloma patients, so that's extremely promising. And then you try to speculate on what will be the situation for the newly diagnosed patients using lenalidomide, dexamethasone, and daratumumab. So in my opinion, the bortezomib is a little bit less impressive, but it will be definitely useful for some patients, and especially those patients starting with lenalidomide and dexamethasone continuously. For example, they may receive DARA in combination with bortezomib and dex at the time of relapse. So my perception is that these regimen will be clearly game changers, we will see as soon as this regimen will be formally approved and reimbursed. I think we will see the majority of myeloma patients will receive in relapse a daratumumab-based regimen, and then we will have the same regimen for the frontline. And as you know, we may get VMP in combination with DARA and also Lendex in combination with DARA. My understanding is that for the U.S. doctors, the lenalidomide, dexamethasone, and daratumumab will be a key regimen. And for us in my country, in France, I think lenalidomide, dexamethasone, and daratumumab will be also a very key regimen for newly diagnosed elderly myeloma patients. And also because the daratumumab will be subcutaneous daratumumab in few years. So that will be very effective, and I do believe that it is safe, and that will be also more convenient for patients.
Yeah, no, I think you've hit a couple of really important points, and that is having an antibody really does change the entire potential treatment landscape. In the U.S., where many patients have received lenalidomide maintenance after transplant, the question about the applicability of Pollux to this patient population does come a little bit into question. What I think we're very fortunate to have is data not from a phase 3 trial, but from a phase 2 trial that combined pomalidomide with daratumumab and dexamethasone and showed an equally impressive high response rate in that relapsed and refractory patient population that appears to be very active among high-risk patients as well. I mean, we at our center put several patients on that trial, three or four of which were 17p deleted that had progressed very quickly after the IFM trial. They were on the original IFM-DFCI trial and have been in remission longer on Pom-Dara-Dex than they were with their RBD induction and transplant and maintenance per that protocol. So I think even for patients that have progressed on lenalidomide, there's an IMiD combination that can be very potent for them.
Oh, no, I fully agree with you. In fact, everything with daratumumab is impressive, and the pomalidomide combination regimen is impressive as well. And as we may expect that, so this is basically for relapsed refractory myeloma patients, but in the frontline setting, I think we all agree that we will see four drug regimens, including a PI, an IMiD, and a CD38 antibody. So we may see patients on VRD daratumumab or even carfilzomib VRD daratumumab, for induction and consolidation before and after stem cell transplantation. And then we will have to manage the maintenance part. And so that's a very open question. But as you say, the combination of some lenalidomide and some daratumumab for maintenance will be likely extremely effective as well.
Yeah, I agree, and I think for the wallet hawks in the room, when people talk about four drug induction or two or three drug maintenance, to me the benefit of doing one or both of those is that patients do not have to stay on maintenance indefinitely. Yeah. The goal would be to figure out whether you can get patients to MRD negativity with this approach and potentially stop therapy and see whether you've cured a bigger subset of patients.
No, that's a very good point. I think with these kinds of regimens will likely make cure some at least some standard risk patients. Then we still have the issue of the high risk myeloma patients and I do believe that for CD38 antibodies will make a difference as well, because what I say to my young people is that if you look at the Pollux PFS curve, which is so impressive, and if you say that the high-risk patient should benefit from Lendex daratumumab, otherwise that means that the standard risk patient will be cured basically, because the curve is so high. My expectation is that we will have some good news for high-risk patients as well, and as you know, it remains a very, very great challenge. So these 10 to 20% of high-risk myeloma patients still have a poor clinical outcome, and many colleagues have said that the antibodies are, in a certain extent, agnostic to cytogenetics. So I do not know exactly what it means. I would say they probably do not care too much about cytogenetics, but I think it's probably premature to say that, but I do believe they will make some difference for the high-risk patients as well.
Yeah. I think it is very, very exciting. Were there other targets that may have come up in the relapsed refractory setting worth mentioning, perhaps PD-1 or venetoclax or other, or selinexor or other new targets or new drugs that might be worth just a moment or two of mention?
No, that was briefly mentioned, but I agree that that will be likely part of the next American Society of Hematology meeting. But that's also good news. For example, venetoclax has shown some activity. We got also some good study results with selinexor, and then we have the PD-1 story. In my opinion, the PD-1 story is still it's an ongoing story. It's not totally clear. So we got very impressive results in a very limited number of patients, but for example, some at ASH last year, Dr. Sami Wild presented a couple of patients who did very well and lenalidomide in combination with pembrolizumab. As you know, the phase 3 studies are ongoing with both pomalidomide and lenalidomide. Pomalidomide in the relapse refractory setting and lenalidomide in the frontline. So that's, we will see. I think we need to wait, but for the good news is that for some drugs, we'll likely, that's not so impressive as antibodies for sure, but we can find some good patients for venetoclax and selinexor, for example. And so these drugs will play a role in myeloma in the next few years as well.
All right. Well, good. It sounds like an exciting session. Do you want to any closing thoughts before we conclude this? I think it was a really important and exciting session about a lot of new targets and how to use these drugs more effectively.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you, Professor Facone, for highlights that you provided today. And thank you all for joining us today. For additional resources, please view the other educational activities on managingmyeloma.com.